We are joined now by Mike Jocks of KHBS 4029. Jocko was at Brett Bielema's press conference earlier today. Jocko, what did he have to say?
Well, I think the best thing that I heard from Coach was that the injury front, you know, he came in and you know, the biggest thing was Travis Swanson will be okay and he will play. He wanted to go back into the game. Coach said he was chomping at the bit to get back in on Saturday night, but they just figured it was probably best just to hold him out and make sure everything is okay, and everything seems to be fine with him. Obviously not so good for Will Hines, who had surgery back in Fayetteville when they got back to Arkansas. He'll be out for at least 6 weeks, although if you know, the healing goes well. We've seen other guys you know, that have broken bones and all of a sudden make this miraculous comeback. Maybe he plays with a big club on his arm, but Will Hines is out for at least 6 weeks. So, yeah. But everybody else that got injured, it seemed like, you know, in the third and early fourth quarter, it seemed like, you know, every other Arkansas player was going down and they're actually running out of trainers by the end of the game. But everybody seems to be fine, the guys that got hurt, including Hunter Henry, who they said he has a bruise in the back of it, or, you know, like this big bruise or a little injury on the back of his leg, and they kind of tweaked it when I think Jonathan Williams or Alex Collins fell on him. But he'll be fine as well. So that was probably the best news out of that whole, you know, press conference was, hey, everybody's fine except for Will Hines. So, you know, they'll be going almost full strength Saturday against South Carolina.
Will Hines is a corner, right? So if he does come back, he would have to play some kind of slot, like a nickel corner or a safety or a rover, with like what you're saying, Jocko, with a club on his hand, you wouldn't actually be able to be out there manned up.
Yeah, it would kind of be a different position. The line. Yeah, that's for sure. So we'll see. He didn't necessarily say that he'd come back, you know, early and play with, you know, a cast on his arm. They were just hoping that, you know, six weeks was it. You know, they've got a couple byes, so who knows? Maybe if all goes well, he could play in the last couple of games of the year. But that leaves, you know, maybe a chance for Jared Collins or Carroll Washington or even DJ Dean to take his place back there. You know, Arkansas was a little thin back there and having some issues to begin with. But Will Hines is one of the guys that actually was playing pretty well so far this year. So it hurts to lose him. And I know that, you know, reading his tweets and things like that, and knowing what kind of kid he is, you know, obviously he's disappointed to be sitting out for the next 6 weeks.
Jocko, I know we haven't done this with you on the show yet, is take calls, but you are very active on Twitter. And
yeah.
I know you like to talk to the general public. So we're going to start taking calls when we have you on.
That'd be great.
And we're going to start with David in the Rock. David, thanks for calling. Welcome to Overtime.
I was going to try to reach all earlier when Ms. Russo was on, but wanted to find out about the cancellation of the game between Central High and Catholic High. Apparently, that game's no longer going to be played, and I wanted to see what the you know, what they can tell us about that. Why that game's going to be canceled? Because it's a great rivalry; it's been going on for years. But apparently, Central's decided no longer to play Catholic starting next year. So,
yeah, David, with the way the conference alignment has changed and everything, obviously they're not in the same conference anymore. And I don't know why. I know they played non-conference, and I don't know if it's a scheduling conflict or what it is. I might text Coach Register and see if I can get an answer to that when we get to a break.
Yeah, we're real interested because the students have started a petition, both Catholic High students and Central High students, to get the game played, because it's a great game. But from what we understand, this was an administration decision. And so now Catholics left with an open date next year that we don't have a game set. So I'd like to see what somebody might be able to tell us about that.
We'll see if we can figure something out. Thanks, David.
Appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you.
Trey, are they in the same – would they be in the same classification?
They're in the same classification. They're just not in the same conference.
So if they didn't have the half 6A, half 7A, and how when we had Coach on talking about the playoff thing, then they would still play is the deal?
Right. They probably would. But here's the way that they can play each other. And, Jocko, you know this well. Make it to a state championship game.
Yeah, that's an easy enough. You might as well, you know, if you want to play and continue that rivalry,
Both of you play for a state title and have it be Catholic and Central, and then that keeps everybody from Jocko's neck of the woods back up here in Northwest Arkansas.
That saves me a trip to make it down to Little Rock, but that would be a game worth going to see old school rivalries going at it.
It would. Let's go to Larry in the Rock. Larry, thanks for calling. Welcome to Overtime.
Hey, guys. What's up? I've been listening to you guys for a long time, and I'm just not getting in my car and listening to radio, and I haven't really heard much, but I just want to say I still like the Hawks. I know they're 3-3, and they lost three games in a row, but I like the way we look from last year, and I have faith in Brendan Allen that next year he's going to come out, he's going to do his thing. And I have faith in the coach that he's going to make the additions that we need to the defense. So to all the people who want to hate every weekend when we lose, it's going to get better. It has to get better before it gets worse. And that's all I want to say. Thank you, guys. I love you. I love your show.
Thanks, Larry. Appreciate the call.
Sometimes it gets worse before it gets better. So, but I'm with him that the foundation is being laid. When you're playing a lot of young players, they're just not capable of making the plays. They make more mistakes, but this experience is going to help us down the road. And you stay healthy, you come together, that I don't see any reason why next year we don't make a bowl game. And then with year three, that we don't have a chance to win 9 games. I really think year three, we win at least 8 games.
Jocko, what was Brett Bielema's comments? Did anybody ask him about the mood of the team? I know he spoke to it a little bit in Gainesville after the game Saturday, but did he talk any more about it today, the fact that, you know, some of these guys could start questioning, okay, are we doing the right things now?
No, I think that, you know, he said Sunday was pretty somber. You know, Sunday is a day that they kind of work through everybody's mistakes. I think it's, you know, the day that I'm sure people, you know, even if they win, Sunday is a day where they go through film and they point out what people are doing wrong. So I think no matter, you know, even if you were to win a huge game, they're still going to go on, you know, on Sunday, look at the film and say, okay, great game, but here's what you did wrong, and we need you to improve on that. And he said it wasn't just the players this Sunday. It was the coaches. They looked at coaches' mistakes, and he said he looked at himself. So, you know, nobody was left out on Sunday of what did you do wrong and how can we fix it. And he talked a little bit about the mood. I think that people still believe inside that locker room that, you know, this isn't, you know, this season isn't going – you know, downhill fast. I think that everybody knew going into this, certainly this 4-game stretch, that this is the hardest part of not only Arkansas' schedule, but if you were to compare it to a 4-game stretch of anybody in the country, it'd be hard to find a harder stretch of games anybody.
So, we tried.
Okay, see, so there's just no way. And they talked about it before the game, and they set themselves up to try to be successful for this 8-week stretch. You know, they don't have a bye week until after the Alabama game. So they did things in weeks of 8, including, you know, this spring practice, summer practice, and fall practice as well, to kind of get them prepared for this stretch run. Obviously, you know, no matter how hard you prepare those 4 games, you know, pretty close to impossible. It's funny, we're, you know, talking amongst ourselves here, you know, you win one of these games and you feel like you conquer the world. Just, you know, one out of these 4 games against these SEC opponents in this 4-week stretch, you feel like you succeeded. But the locker room coach said,
well, you would have, because they're all ranked.
All
ranked opponents.
I mean, it's tough. It's tough not to get down, but I think that, you know, that he said, you know, it's a learning process. Winning is a learning process. And he said that, you know, he continues to preach that it's not going to be an instant thing. I think that, you know, he talked a little bit about the fans and the gentleman who just called and said that he's sticking with the Hogs. Now, everybody's got to stick with him now, because, you know, it's going to take a while. It's not, you know, Brett Bielema is not going to come in here and change the world in one day, but he is changing the foundation, like Matt said, and it's going to take a little bit of time. For the, you know, he talked a little bit about the haters, but, you know, I was kind of laughing on Twitter. We mentioned Twitter, and I was, you know, looking around on Saturday night, and, you know, people blaming Chris Axe for poor tackling. And, you know,
oh, my gosh.
This coaching staff was dealt their hands of cards. Unfortunately, you know, there's about 38 of them instead of 52. So, I think that this is a good team, a good foundation. But, it, you know, once Coach B gets his guys in and the players that, you know, work through this program from freshman to senior year, you're going to see a big-time improvement from this year. And I still think that this year is a learning you know, a learning year. And fortunately, there's going to be some big time bumps in the road. But I think eventually that you're going to take those bumps and smooth them out and, you know, make it perfect once again.
Yeah, you don't. I mean, we've talked about this. You don't build a program by putting on the roof first. You got to have a base. You don't build a road by just taking the asphalt and laying it straight down. I mean, you've got to grade the road out and smooth it out first. So this is what he's trying to do. This is the first time in his coaching career as a head coach that he's lost three games in a row.
Well, and
just think about that for a second, too.
Jocko kind of touched on it as far as his players. Was it eight players had scholarships he took away as soon as he got here? So he does. Coaches, a lot of times that doesn't happen. He's recruiting a different type of player. He took away eight already. I think next year's class will be even better than this year's class. And he, what did he have, 3 months? And it was still very impressive recruiting class.
Got here in early December, and then, December, January, and then pretty much February was signing day, the first Wednesday in February. Let's go to Danny in Sherwood. Danny, thanks for calling. Welcome to Overtime.
Again, guys, thanks for having me. Matt, you kind of answered my questions. You know, I was going to ask you about next year's expectations. Let's be honest. You know, I love my pig. Always have, always will. But we could go 3-9. It's a possibility that we could do that. Next year, you said we go to a bowl game, possibly. And then the next year, you know, we're looking at maybe 9 wins. So that's kind of like that Houston nut error where let's get them juniors and seniors, and then we win, and then we have to start over again. I don't want that.
But, Danny, I don't think that's going to be the problem with Brett Bielema. I think
that's what I was going to ask you.
Once he gets his program established, I think he's going to be able to keep it rolling to where you won't have the letdown years.
And here's the big factor, Trey.
Look at what he did
at
Wisconsin.
But here's the big factor, and Trey and I have talked about this probably since 3 or 4 months ago. His assistant coaches have to stay intact. The reason he came here was because they could pay – one of the reasons – they could pay his assistant coaches more. And if he's able to keep the offensive and defensive coordinator here for the next 5 years, once he gets them there to winning 8-9 games, I think they'll be able to do that 3-4 years in a row. I don't think it would be a flash in the pan where, okay, 1 year you have a chance to win 9 or 10, then we're going to have to rebuild for 2 years, then you have a chance to win 9 or 10. I don't think that, as long as he can keep those offensive and defensive coordinators here.
Well, that makes me feel better because, we went through that process of let them mature and all that, and I just – you're saying his recruiting is slightly above Houston Nutt, and he's going to be.
I think he's the best recruiter we've had here in the last 20 years, as far as a football coach, especially going out of state.
Danny, that comes from a guy that was recruited by Arkansas, played at Arkansas. Danny, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Jocko, you were in Wisconsin before you came down to Arkansas, and you covered Brett Bielema up there. I mean, what was it? How was he able to sustain after – I mean, obviously he comes in after Barry Alvarez and was on the staff with Barry Alvarez, so there wasn't really a lot of building that he had to do, but he had to sustain what was already built.
Yeah, that's the big thing, Trey, is that, you know, he came in, he had a great program that Coach Alvarez had laid out for him. But, yeah, I think that he started to lay down his own foundation. He talked a little bit about that. You know, he had one rough year where they went, you know, they started off 3-0. They then lost 4 games in a row. They lost a real tough game. I remember they went to Michigan and, a couple of calls here and there went the wrong way, went to the blue side. So, but they wound up finishing 6-6. And he said at that point they were, you know, it was kind of the transition year from Coach Alvarez's staff, you know, and then he was getting his own guys in and kind of laying his own program down. And making it truly his own. And, you know, we know the story that eventually, you know, the 6-6 was the only real blemish. And, you know, to lay the foundation of his own program and then to rattle off, you know, 3 straight Big Ten championships. I think that, you know, you guys are right. You know, you keep those assistants around and they're being paid well. They're not going to leave like they would at Wisconsin unless, you know, a big time head coaching job opened up. But to keep those guys around and continue to recruit, I think that's ultimately the thing. And I agree with Matt, you know, that he's a great recruiter. You know, I wasn't here
for the past programs. Obviously, they recruited a great kid in that Jones. So, but besides that, I think that this guy can go into places. We've seen it already. He can go into Florida and bring out some big time kids like you already have in 3 months. And you know, and there's that big state to our Southwest in Texas that I think is just waiting for Brett Bielema and his staff to pull out some big time recruits from there, and Louisiana as well. And obviously, the biggest thing, talked about it before Brett Bielema got here is building that fence. And Brett Bielema is huge at building that fence around the state of Arkansas and keeping the great kids and having them go to Fayetteville. So I think it's just length. It's going to take time. Nobody wants to hear the patience part, but the foundation is being laid. The house is going to be a pretty sweet house once it's built completely.
Jocko, we've got about 30 seconds left. Did he say anything about whether or not does he prepare any differently if Clowney plays or if Clowney doesn't play for South Carolina this week?
Yeah, I think that you kind of build your offense around one of the better players, one of the best defensive linemen in the game. So I think they prepare like he's going to play. And, if he doesn't, then, you still have a pretty good scheme against a solid SEC defense.
Jocko, as always, we appreciate it. We'll talk to you next week.
Always a pleasure, guys. We'll see you.